Let us turn in our Bibles to the book of Jude. We are reading today from verse 12 to verse 16. Jude 12 to 16. This is what it says. These are sport in your love feasts, while they feast with you, without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars from whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all the ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Now, this is, I don't know, fourth or fifth time we are going through the book of Jude. We saw the purpose of the book was Jude wanted to write to warn God's people about this danger in the church, about these people who have come in the church who don't belong to the church of God, who don't have the same mission as Christ left for his church, the unconverted people, people who are there to deceive, who pretend, but who are not having a mission, same as Christ has commanded his own church. We've spoken about these apostates. Apostates, we define apostasy as people, or apostates as people who have heard the word of God, who have come in contact with the word of God, but have willingly rejected it. They've just listened to it. They've maybe walked as Christian, have done things as Christian for a while, they've pretended, but after a while, they have just gone back to do the unbelieving things. So people who have confessed faith once, oh, for a decade, and then shown themselves to be false. We saw Jude giving us example of apostate Israel in the wilderness, those who didn't believe in God. They saw, as we read today in the book of Psalm, they saw the wonders of God, but they chose not to believe. Jude tells us about apostle angels who saw the wonders of God in heaven, but chose not to believe, and they went outside of what God had commanded them to do. We saw apostate Gentiles in example of Sodom and Gomorrah, people who were warned by Lot, people who were warned by God, but they didn't they chose not to listen. They continued living in the unbelief. Jude says that apostates are unlike the archangel Michael. They are not like Michael. They are not like Christians. They are different kind of people. They believe different things, their own abilities. They don't believe in God. They are not Christians. You can't confuse them with the people who are immature in things of God, who don't know. Apostates are unbelievers. And last time we spoke about the characteristic of these people, what they do, or what is the character Jude gave us some example. He said that they are dreamers. They are people who are disconnected from reality. They're doing things according to their own instincts. Reality doesn't say anything to them. They are like that man who looks at himself in the mirror. When they turn around, they forget what kind of person they are. They are dreamers. They defile the flesh. They are not holy people. They are unholy people. They don't live for the holiness, as all Christians are called to holiness, sanctification. But these people are there to defile the flesh. They commit sexual immorality and they do things which are not honoring God. They reject authority. They want to be their own bosses. They want to be their own masters. No one can be above them to tell them anything to do. They are not humble people. They are not teachable. And they speak evil of dignitaries, or the glorious ones. These are the people by nature. They say bad things. They not only reject authority, but they tell others. They speak evil of anyone who is above them or who has God-given authority. It could be in church, it could be in family, it could be anywhere. They want to be their own masters. That's who they are. In verse 11, which we finished with last time, verse 11, Jude says that, "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." We saw that Cain represents self-willed religion. Cain knew what God commanded him to do, but he wanted to twist and change the things. He wanted a religion which he could command, he could control. So when he said that a way of Cain, it means that the apostates don't want religion of God. They don't want Christianity as God has commanded it to be. They want their own ideas to be passed, a religion which they can control and have a say into it. They have run away greedily in the era of Balaam for profit. So they do whatever they do to gain profit, whatever which benefits them. They don't do anything for glory of God. They do things for their own glories. As we saw, Balaam went to speak to the king, went to prophesy. He wanted a position. So are the apostates. Again, we saw that and perished in rebellion of Korah. We know what Korah was in Numbers 16, that he spoke to people about, he wanted a position in Israel. He was not content that Aaron and Moses were leading. He wanted a position. He wanted to elevate himself. He went and spoke to people so that they could rebel against the leadership God had put in place. These are the people who are hungry for power. They want power. They don't want the church of God to be as it is. They are an unholy presence in the church of God. The presence is unholy in the church of God. And today we come to verse 12, and the title of this message is Identity of Apostates and a Predicted Damnation. Identity of the Apostates and a Predicted Damnation or Judgment. So we begin from verse 12. Jude compares these people to five natural disasters or five natural happenings. Why? Because these people are unconverted. Because these people are still in Adam, they are not in Christ. They've never been transformed. They are not in Christ. They are not Christians. He compares them, so he uses the natural happenings to describe or to identify these people. How can we identify them? In verse 12, he begins by this. He says that These are sport in your love faith. Some Bible translations say that these are blemishes in your love feast. So it talks about these are a dirty spot. As you have an example of the Church of God. Church of God is called to be holy. Church of God is to be pure and to be sanctified. But these people, them being dirty, being not pure, when they are in Church of God, they represent an unholy, dirty spot in the church. They are a stain in the Church of God. That's one way. This word, they've taken it from word, from the word blemishes. Blemishes, which is used in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, I believe, which says that these are blemishes. So many of the Bible translators have taken it that way, that they are blemishes. They are a dirty stain in the Church of God. Their presence represents a dirty spot, a stain in what should be clean and white and pure. But the word which is used here in Greek is the word spilades. Spilades. I think some like ESV has gotten it right. They've translated this word to be hidden, like in this way. These are hidden reefs, hidden rocks at your love feast, hidden dangers. They are the hidden dangers. As Church of God came today, we had a feast, we had some food, and we enjoyed the fellowship. So these are people who are coming among God's people. They are a hidden danger. The idea here is this. Let me give you an example which we can understand more. We do have waters around here. We have archipelago here. Most of people have boats. And this archipelago is known for many stones. It has many stones around here. So the idea Jude is giving here is of one who is sitting in the boat. It can be a motorboat or sailing boat. You are there driving or sailing. You see that there is the land there. You see the harbor. You're coming closer. You think everything is fine. Now I'm going to the place of rest. Under the water, there is a stone. There is, it can be a coral, it can be a just stone which is hidden there. When you think that you are safe, when you think that you are coming to the harbor, what you notice is that the hull of your boat is hurt by the stone. It has hidden the stone and water starts coming in your boat and you drown. So the stone which you can't see, this is the idea of these people. They are hidden danger in the Church of God. So as God's people, when we come together as Church of God, we think the church is the safest place. That's how it should be. A place of comfort, the place of peace, the place of where people love one another. But in the midst of this Church of God, you find these hidden reefs, these hidden stones. These people are there doing things, operating among God's people. You come in church, you think, I have come home. This is where my people believe. This is where God is. And these people as well, apostates, come to be among God's people because they have a different mission to destroy the Church of God. These are dangerous people. And the Bible says here that they're shepherds feeding themselves. not caring about others. When they come into the church of God, instead of advancing the kingdom of God, instead of advancing the work of Christ in the church, no, they are there to promote themselves. They're looking for every opportunity to feed themselves. They are hidden rocks under the sea. You think you are safe, but they are there operating on underground to destroy the church of God. The second thing Jude tells us here is like waterless clouds swept along by wind. Waterless clouds. These are the people who promise much, but they deliver nothing. These are the people who are able to convince you. They come among you, they convince you, they show you what they are all about. They show you that they will solve problems. You see that there is prospect there. These are the people who we need in the church. Empty talkers. They show that they have gifts which they don't have. I think Jude is using an example which we see from scriptures from book of Proverbs 25:14. It says like this, like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift he does not give. So these are the people who come to church. They are like waterless clouds. This is what it means. Let's say like soon in summer, we will see different kind of happenings in the skies. Clouds are going to be there. Not every cloud brings about rain. If you meet farmers, they look at sky, they look at clouds, and when they start getting darker, they think rain is coming down. They are hoping for rain. And some of the clouds, they're showing to be full of water, but after a while, they disappear away. The wind takes them. So, they appear to be something which they are not. They appear to promise things which they don't have. That is the identity of apostates. They come in church of God. They give an impression of this, and they make you believe that these are the people we want. These are the people, the answer to our prayers. But when it's time, they just evaporate. They go away. The wind takes them. The third example, Jude says here that there are fruitless trees in late autumn. Fruitless trees in late autumn. So this is a picture of disappointing scenario or disappointing reality. So they give you an impression of that they have fruits. When they come among you, you see that they give many promises. We've had people in this church who came and told us many things. What they will do for the church. We've had people who have even told us how they've been saving for the building of the church. They've been doing things for the church of God. Your hopes goes high. You think now we have the solution. We have somebody who will love Christ. But when you come closer, you find that there is no reality. There's no fruit on them. Again, as a farmer, when autumn starts coming, they look on the field, they think that they want to go and collect the last potatoes. Or they look at the tree, they say that now let's go and get the last fruits. The tree is looking good. You come close to it, there's no fruit. Sign of disappointment. When you need them, they just disappoint because there's nothing there. They are twice dead, uprooted. This is a sign that they are not only fruitless, they are dead up to the root. There is nothing in them. There are people who are unbalanced. There are people like in church who can tell you that, I have this talent, I have this, I have this. And when you ask them, can you do this for us? What they do is just complaining. Fruitless people, uprooted. There's no sign of them producing any fruit in the church of God. There is no life in them. There's no life. Twice dead. The fourth thing Jude says here, he says that wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame. Wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame. Again, in another example, if you have been to the sea or any lake, you see that every time water is never calm. In Finland, sometimes it happens. But most of the big waters, like if you go where I come from, there's a sea, Indian Sea there, is always, there are some waves all the time. Waves all the time. Day, night, morning, evening. There's always waves. And when those waves come, you see, they spit out all the dirt from the water. You see plastics, you see green things, you see any bottles, you see different things coming to the shore of the water. If you go in summer to Gamla Hamnen here in Jakobstad, sometimes it's so disgusting. You see that it's so dirty close to the shore, so dirty that it spits out all the dirt. So this is the example of these people here. That what should be inside is being spilled. They're not just quiet, they spit every dirt which is inside them, they spit it into the church of God so that the people can see. Isaiah 57:20 says that, but the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. This can represent also, these people are always dissatisfied. They are empty. These people are never satisfied. They're always looking for things to do. They are restless. They are always moving, speaking about. You think the church of God is fine. You think the church of God is in peace. You think that we are advancing. But they are always looking for things. They are spitting poison. They're showing themselves of who they are in the church of God. They are waving the waves of the sea. They are always spitting about all the dirt which is in them. So, what they should be ashamed of, the bad character which is seen to the people, they are always spilling it to the church of God to see. When they are in church of God, they should be thinking, this is the place where I should be holy. This is the place where I should behave this way. No, they are like the water of the sea. They are spitting all the dirt, all the ungodliness among God's people. They are restless people. They have no peace, no satisfaction. There is no stability in them. They always find error among God's people. Fifth things You'd say that they are wandering stars. They are like shooting stars. The light appears for a while. Before you notice, it has disappeared. You know, there are some stars which shine brightly in the sky. You see them once, and the next time you look, they've disappeared. They are not there. There's no last effect in them. There's no eternal good in these people. They come to a church for a while. They're moving from church to church, from church to church, from group to group. They become like they are Christian professionals, consultants. When they go to a church, they know what is wrong in every church, but then they never settled. There's no eternal good. There's no lasting effect. They come for a while. They shine brightly and they leave. They get your attention. You give them attention. You consider them. They have a place in your heart. And for a while, gone. So Jude compares the apostates with these five things of the nature, as we said here. They are hidden reefs, hidden danger, hidden stones. They are waterless clouds. They're swept away by the wind. They are fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. Wild waves of the sea, casting up foam of their own shame. They are wandering stars. Sign of disappointment. Sign of instability. Sign of just destruction. They are a negative presence in the church of God. Why are they a negative presence in the church of God? Because they are dangerous people. They are dangerous people. They are deceptive people. You put trust in them, they deceive you. They are selfish people. You are in church of God, thinking of how you can advance the kingdom of God, how people can come to faith. But these are people who are thinking, how can I become famous? How can I live my own legends? How can people remember me? How can I have my own followers? They don't have the same love for the church as Christ has. No, they think of themselves. They are fruitless presence and a dead presence, an empty presence in the church of God. They might be there filling your place, but they are of no good in the church of God. We see here the identity, the picture Jude is pointing of people. These are not people outside the church. These are not people on the street. These are not the sinners out there where we go and preach the gospel. These are the people in the church of God, operating in the church of God. It can be those in leadership. It can be people sitting on the puke. It can be people making coffee. It can be people anywhere. It can be anyone in the church of God who has this quality as their character, as their identity. It's not somebody who has the name here, apostate. And they are aimless. And if you follow them, you end in damnation, as verse 13 says of Jude. If we can read it, verse 13, it says, these are raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. The end of these people is said here, that to them it is reserved the darkness, the darkest time There is a judgment for them, forever for them. There is a damnation for these people reserved. Remember, what is their mission? Is to get followers. Is to get people who sympathize with them. Is to get people who love what they are doing. If the end is total damnation, what about the end of those who follow them? You end up in the same situation. They are a condemned presence in the church of God. Have you ever wondered how the Lord God protects His church? How does God protect His church? We do have churches around here, people, different kind of denominations, Christians. How does God in a sense protect us as individual Christians and as the church as a whole? How does He protect us? This is what Jude is doing here. He's protecting the church of God by warning God's people. He's warning us. He's telling us of the danger. He's telling us about the apostates who are operating in the church of God. That's one way God protects His church. He tells us the identity of these people, the characteristic of these people, so that we are aware of these people. We have to open our mind, we have to open our eyes to see these kind of people. Self-seeking people. And the second way He does it to protect His church is by disciplining those who practice these kind of things. Those who are apostates. This is the reason why God disciplines the church. This is the reason why God disciplines God's people. He does it to keep the church of God pure, healthy, and to be united, to be in peace. He warns the church of God, as it says, to be warned is to be armed. He warns the church of God, watch out, watch out. Know this. Don't be ignorant. Know this. And those who don't listen, those who disobey, He disciplines. It's not because He doesn't love. It's because He wants the church of God to be pure. That's why we have these scriptures here before us. As Jude said, that He could have written about something else, but He chose to write about this comment, about this warning the church of God of this. In verse 14 to verse 15 of Jude, this is what it says. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about this man also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in ungodly way, and of all harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Even before God destroyed the people and saved only few, Abraham, Lot, and the few, God has always warned His people. Before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, before the flood, God has always warned His people. Because God loves His people. He doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. He wants men and women to turn from their wicked ways and turn to Him. God warns His people. He says here that Enoch, seven generations from Adam, before the flood, God already was warning people about this judgment on ungodly. The judgment was coming for the ungodly. Why he does this? God is doing it because of His goodness, kindness, because of His grace, and because of His mercy. He wants us to know. He wants us to escape this judgment which is coming by trusting in His Son, by just believing in God and being obedient to His word, by repenting and trusting in His Son and what He has done on the cross. For those who will not heed, for those who will not listen, this judgment is coming for them. The judgment is coming. The certain judgment. And now, Book of Jude has been, people have been thinking much about this quote from Enoch. Why does he take non-scripture stuff and put them in scriptures? Jude is quoting from the book of 1 Enoch. If you read some old books, Jewish books, there's a book called Book of 1 Enoch. It's not inspired book, but it is true. It's not part of canon of scripture, but it is true. Jude affirms this truth by knowing that there will be a judgment for the ungodly. To those who wrote this, certainly they knew what Jude was talking about. They knew about the book of Enoch. And he tells us who he was seven generations after Adam. Jude is not the only one who takes non-inspired scriptures and puts it in scripture. Apostle Paul has done it time after time. He uses the old writers. He writes, he tells them about things they should know. But the book of Jude is inspired. He tells them about the judgment. You saw a word which is dominant in what I just read is the word ungodly. The ungodly. The ungodly will be judged. Why? Because they are ungodly, because the ungodliness, they will be judged. And this judgment is certain. He said that God is coming, the Lord is coming. When He comes, He's not coming alone, He's coming with His angels to execute this judgment, this damnation. It is certain, it is coming. And we see here again, who's the executor of this judgment? It is Christ Himself. He's coming to judge the ungodly. He gives us a term here which we can refer to. He said that harsh things they've said against Him. This must always be put in our minds that as Christians, anyone who comes to persecute the church of God, he's not only persecuting the church of God, he's also doing the harsh things against the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw when Paul was going to persecute the church of God, Saul was going to persecute the church of God, Jesus appeared to him and told him, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul was not persecuting Jesus physically, because Jesus had gone to heaven, and he was persecuting the church of God. So, Jesus Christ takes His church so seriously. He takes His church seriously. Don't think that anything you do against the church of God, you are doing to the church of God. You are doing it to Christ himself. And this Christ who will come to execute the judgment upon the ungodly. For all the ungodly things, harsh things they have said against him. He takes it personally. He takes it seriously. The Church of God is not like any other company, association, or something. The Church of God has its mission. It takes the head who is the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes his church seriously. As he said, he's building his church. So anyone who comes in the Church of God to destroy it, to say bad things, to deviate the focus of the church, Christ and his angels will deal with these people seriously. Certainly they will be judged. This is a warning anyone should be heeding, should consider that this is not the church, because it's called Agape International Baptist Church. It's not just the church of Agape Baptist Church. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is building his church. Christ is the master of this church. We should be treating the Church of God with reverence, with fear, knowing who is the owner of the church, who is the head of the church, is the executor of this judgment for all the things which has been said against his church. And all the unrighteous, all the ungodly, the Bible said that they'll be convicted. No one will escape this judgment. No one will say that God closed his eyes. God didn't see me. So anything we have done against the Church of God, anything the apostates do in the Church of God, is seen by this Almighty God, is seen by Jesus Christ. And the day he comes, he will judge them for all the harsh things they have said against him, they have done against him. Don't forget that he is a good shepherd. He cares for his flock. You might be thinking that how do I do things against the Church of God? It's by attacking the flock of God, the sheep of God. The shepherd takes it personally if you go and attack the sheep. He can put his life online because of it. The same way Christ does. By you persecuting the Church of God. By you destroying the Church of God. By you destroying the sheep of God. You will be destroyed by this executor of judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 16, Jude gives us the final identity of these people, who they are. He said that these are grumblers. These are murmurers, like unbelieving Israel. They always grumble. Nothing is good. They're never satisfied, as we saw here. They're like the raging waves of the sea. Always restless. Grumblers. They are complainers. Nothing is good unless they are in charge. Until their selfish desires are met. These are complainers. They always find something to complain about. By them complaining, the message they're giving you that none of you can do anything good here. I do it. There is a politician in this area. I've spoken to his colleague. He said that they're sitting there in full Mexico. They sit there, they discuss, they talk. Everything is fine when they talk one-on-one. Everything is fine, they laugh and smile. But every time he goes to the platform to talk, he stands there, he says that None of you knows anything. All of you are idiots. You don't know anything. He will talk bad things about all of them, and then he goes back and sits with them. He talks. He's a good guy as he could be. He's never satisfied. Sometimes in Church of God, we have this kind of people. Never satisfied. They are complainers. Walking according to their own lusts, driven by carnal desires and ungodliness. And their mouth great swelling words. People who are driven by carnal desires, they are ungodly. They are driven by ungodliness and they have great swelling words in their mouth. They talk to you into things. Their tongue is deceptive. They can't control the tongue. They say anything for them to get advantage of you. They are flattering people to gain advantage. They tell you what you need to know. They reflect. Flattering is like a salesman who wants you to buy even rubbish. A salesman who wants you to buy snow in winter. He will talk, make you feel good. And you do it, and they get advantage over you. It could be that they want wealth for themselves, they want power, or they want fame. Flattering people to gain advantage. Manipulators. They are manipulators, holding people of God captives for their own benefits. Making God's people like their own, what can I say, merchandise. They are not interested in well-being of God's people. They are interested in getting their own advantages. The Bible says to them, woe to them. Woe to them. This is a sign of warning. Woe, or sign of condemnation. Woe to them. What do we learn from all this? We have a big list of these people who are ungodly. These people who are apostates. We are not believers. Why do we have all this list here? Why do we have all these warnings? And what are we going to do with it? The answer is this. We are to be watchful. We are to be watchful. If you are a child of God, if you are born again Christian, be watchful for these people. Watch. Watch. Protect the church of God. Protect yourself against this kind of influence. You know the condemnation. And they are there, they are active. They walk according to their own lust. They won't stop. Be watchful. Be watchful. And if you have been exposed by this truth, if you see yourself that your character, your identity is more like this kind of people, what is your reaction to it? Turn to God. If you see yourself that you confessed faith and you have gone out, or your behavior is to destabilize the church of God, you are only groaning and mourning and complaining and unsettling God's people. If you are driven by your own desires, what is your reaction? Repent. Repent of your selfishness. Repent of your unbelief and turn to God. It's never late, as long as you are still living. As long as you are still living, it's never late. Turn to God. Don't be ashamed that I've been in church for too long. If I turn today that I am not a Christian, if I turn today that maybe I was lost, I was apostate, it'd be a shame. It's better to be cried over than to be buried. It's better to be ashamed now than to live in damnation, to be condemned by the executor of this judgment, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are sitting here knowing that you are not a child of God, know that you are a stain, a dirty spot in the church of God. The church of God has been washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Your sins can be washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ can save you. He will save you if you turn to Him. If you acknowledge that you are a sinner, you are in need of salvation, He will save you. Carly's been talking about life of hypocrisy, touching sermons, and we see here the Bible is giving us warning about these pretenders in the church of God. What are you to do? If you identify yourself to be an apostate, turn to God. If you are a Christian, a child of God, be watchful. Be watchful. Don't be asleep. Know that the devil is there doing his job to destroy, and Christ is there doing his job of building his church. Turn to God. If you are an apostate, if you are lost, turn to God. And you will have eternal life. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, there are harsh words. How will you tell us of these wicked people? People who are in the church, the lost, those who are operating in the church of God, how you call them names, comparing them to the nature, because they are not in Christ. Father, if there are some among us who are living in this kind of reality, we pray, Father, that you will open the understanding. Father, we don't take it for granted that everyone who is here is a believer. Only you, God, knows. We pray, Father, that you open the heart, the mind of each one of us, that we'll be able to examine ourselves to see in what category we are falling. Father, for those in need of salvation, would you pray, Father, that you will bring this salvation to them? You don't desire that anyone should perish. We want everyone to turn, Lord, for the wicked ways and repent of their sins. Father, for those who are children of God, we pray, Father, that you will give us the mind which are able to process things, the eyes which are able to see, and the heart which is able to stand for what is good. Father, protect your church. Continue to build your church. All this we do pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.